Today, I want to talk to you as we continue our series entitled Culture Shock. We've been looking at some big issues, and today I want to talk to you about an issue that we had planned months ago in this series, but had no idea how timely it was going to be, and it's the idea of work and vocation. I don't know if you saw the news. The Bureau of Labor and Statistics released the data this week that they're running over a month behind, that when you look back to August this year, that some of the headlines, if you look in the Wall Street Journal or USA Today or whether it's Money Magazine or Forbes, they're calling August the Great American Resignation. How many of you saw that? That more people quit their jobs, left their jobs back in August of this year than ever before in the history of our country. It's amazing to think as we come to this day, where we are when we look at the idea of what does the Bible really say about our career, about our occupation, and about our vocation, and does it really matter? And as we journey through today, I really want to paint a biblical picture for you of what the difference is between your career and your calling. See, a career, simply stated, is this, is that God has gifted every person in here, regardless of who you are, with talents and skills and natural abilities. Some people in here are good at math. How many of you are really good at math? How many of you are not good at math? Right, all right? See, my guess is, as you journey through your life, you have figured those things out. If you are not good at math, you probably are not supposed to be an accountant. How many of you know? And if you have an accountant that's not good at math, it's probably time for a different accountant. How many of you understand? Man, that is a career. That is a career that we work. We have a vocation. We have an occupation. I either work for myself to create wealth, to create money, or I work for someone else. That is my career. If you look through God's Word, people had careers all the time. If you look in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, you know what his career was, how he made his money? He was a tent maker. Now, he had a calling, which I'm going to talk about next, but his career was as a tent maker. He was apparently good at making tents. How many of you remember Jesus? Do you know Jesus had a career, not just a calling? If you go to Mark chapter 6, when Jesus is performing miracles and he's teaching, those who are religious leaders looked at Jesus and said, "Is this not the carpenter? The son of Mary and Joseph." What were they talking about? There is a career, but there's also a calling. So as a follower of God, when we come to this idea, when we think about culture shock, all that is going on right now in our midst when it comes to our profession, our occupation, God has given every one of us natural talents and abilities and skills that we can use in our career to create wealth for our family, for the benefit of others, and for God's kingdom. But on the other end of that spectrum, there's also something called a calling. That for every believer in here, whether you are good at math or bad at math, we all have a calling on our lives. What is the calling of every believer? The calling of every believer is to use our talents and skills and gifts and all of our abilities to make sure that we do everything we can to introduce other people to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to grow God's kingdom. That is the calling. See, the Apostle Paul, his career was a tent maker. His calling, go look at it in the New Testament, to share the gospel with Gentiles, to take the gospel from Jews to Gentiles. That was his calling. Jesus's career was as a carpenter. His calling was not just as God's son, but to ultimately die for the sins of the world. If you look at what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, whatever, everybody say whatever. He says, whatever you do in word or deed, now listen to this, that's career, whatever you do. Here's calling, do it for the glory of God. Do you understand the difference? Whatever your career is, man, God has gifted you, talented you, He's enabled you to do everything. That's your career. We have a career to provide for our family, to provide for those who are hurting, to provide for God's creation and God's kingdom. But our calling is that whatever our career is, do it all for the glory of God. So we have one more worship song I want you to sing. It's a wonderful old hymn that I love. And it really just says, take my life and let it be consecrated, God, to you. I love the words of this song. Take my hands, take my feet, take my voice, take whatever I have, God, and let it be used for your glory. Really, it wraps up the essence of God has given us all natural talents, abilities, a career. But our career is never separated from our calling. Because as followers of God, yeah, we may work at the office Monday through Friday, but all 7 days of the week, I am about introducing others to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's stand and sing this song together.
And take my life and let it be consecrated to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise.
Be seated there where you are. You know, as we develop today kind of a theology of work, we need to understand that difference between our career and our calling. And we need to also understand, even when we're at our career, at the office, at our vocation, that our calling is always there. Now, there ought to be times, and we're going to look at this in God's Word, that you and I walk away from our career because we're going to fulfill our calling. And that is called the Sabbath. That's what you're doing today. We are told we never walk away from the calling of God on our lives. It is 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. But we do walk away, we do separate ourselves from the idea of work, from the idea of our occupation. So I want you to know, we're going to look at God's Word today, and we're going to see some good things. We're going to see some encouraging things. We're also going to see some hard things. Man, God's Word says some hard things. God's Word challenges us that you and I, when we are at the office, that we need to be good laborers, good workers. We need to be worthy of every penny we are paid. God's Word also is pretty much an incredible challenge to us that you and I, we are not allowed to be lazy. We've got to be good employees. We've got to work hard. We need to do everything we can. And we've got to learn to hold those in balance. Our career and our calling. Our careers differ as followers of Christ, but our calling never changes. Whatever we do it for the glory of God. So here we sit in our country, in the midst of so much turmoil, so much struggle. Many of the topics, the tough topics we've been addressing over the last couple of weeks in this series. And here now, the idea in the issue of vocation and work. Man, if you own a company right now, depending on what industry you're in, you are longing for laborers. How many of you know? I mean, the help wanted signs are everywhere. There is an opportunity. I was reading a study this week that there is more than one job for every person that is looking for a job right now. There is more opportunity for employment than those who are actively looking for a job. That's an incredible thing. That's an incredible thing to think about, that here we are in a space when we are calling August the Great American Resignation, that more people quit their jobs in August of this year than ever before in the history of our company, in our country, in the history of our company too. But beyond that, Gallup survey just released data this week. They surveyed employees. Now, we just had a record quitting month. Gallup survey surveyed employees that are currently at a job. They say 50% of those who are currently employed are looking for a different job. Believe in that. 50% of the people, how many of you would like a better job that paid more money? How many of you would like a job that paid more money and didn't require you to work as much? See, that's my job. That's the favorite job. I've already taken this one. Just Sunday morning, a little work here and a little work there. And people complain actually on Sundays about me working too much. So shorten it up a little bit. I've already got this job. But here's the interesting part. Is we look at a country that work has become a struggle for us. We don't see it as part of how God put us together. But we also understand there's a calling on our lives. So we think more people quit in August. Those who still have a job and didn't quit in August, they may be looking to quit pretty quickly. More than ever before, people are unsatisfied at the office place. That's where we sit as a country. Man, and you think back to our childhood days, to the fairy tale day. How many of you remember Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs? That dates us a little bit, right? Remember the Seven Dwarfs? How many of you remember the song, "Hi-ho, hi-ho, so off to work I go"? Remember, they loved going to work. If you read the song, what does it say? We dig, dig, dig from morning till night, hi-ho, hi-ho. How many of you love that idea? You're like, this is where we are. This is where we're at. Well, how did they get there? Well, if you read the rest of the story, don't forget, they worked in a diamond mine. It says they dug and dug and dug, and they captured thousands of diamonds every day and rubies, and then it says more. Well, who wouldn't enjoy going to work in a diamond and a ruby factory? How many of you understand? But there is a reality. This is real world. This is fairy tale. But the Bible says you and I live somewhere in this in-between phase. And it's not in between real world and fairy tale. It's in between career and calling. That you and I can ultimately have fulfillment in our life when we understand that, man, God has gifted me and talented me. And I have a career. And I will be honest with you. If you look, there are times that I've known people throughout the year, man, godly people who love God with all their heart. They don't enjoy their work. Do you realize it is okay not to love your work? But they also realize they're good at something and it pays the bills. And so they're going to keep doing it because them going to work allows them to fulfill both their calling as well as their passion, right? See, a lot of us, it's amazing that we have passions, right? Do you realize that there are certain things that I'm passionate about that have nothing to do with my career as your pastor or my calling, but God has knit me together? Some of you are passionate. I'm looking out here. Some of you are passionate about sports. How many of you are passionate about sports? I've noticed something else. Guys, just so you'll know, I was standing over there when Mackenzie asked, how many of you would like a date night? Guys, just so you'll know, 80% of the hands that went up was your wife. And the dudes are sitting there going, I thought that's what football was for, right? Right? See, the wife has a passion, and the dude says, you know, there is career, there is calling, there's passion. Very few people can feed their families with their passion. They can have fun. There are times, and you'll go to these occupational or workplace seminars where someone will stand up before you and they'll say, man, how did you succeed? I followed my passion. Can I just be honest with you? For every one dude that's successful at making a living following their passion, there are a billion that failed miserably. How many of you understand? Right? So what do? We find out, what am I good at? How has God blessed me? How has God put me together? Am I good at math? Am I good at language? Am I good at this or am I good at that? And we figure that out. Say, listen, I may not even love this, but I'm good at it, and it pays the bills. And so whatever I do, in word or deed, I can fulfill my calling. And then ultimately, once I fulfill my calling, which is to glorify God with everything I say and everything that I do, then between career and calling, I can have some things that I'm passionate about. I've noticed this at church, man. There are people that come in and they are passionate about student ministry. They love to work with middle schoolers or high schoolers. There's somebody else that doesn't inspire them at all. That doesn't make some of them love children, man. They're passionate about working with children or young adults or married adults or this place or that place. We have missions in our church. We've got people that come in here and they are passionate. They understand it's not their career, but it is a calling, but it's a calling that is fulfilling their passion to work with cancer ministry or some other, feed the hungry. We have so many people that are so blessed that they understand all that God has given them. And so when we come to the idea today that we are in the midst of culture shock, that people don't understand the purpose of work and how important it is. I love what Thomas Edison said years ago. He said, listen, ultimately, genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. Did you get that? 1% inspiration, 99% perspiration. Man, that's God's word. That's the way God put us together. So when we come to the idea of what does the Bible say about the idea of occupation, career, and calling? Thought number one is this, and you might want to open up your app or open up God's Word to Genesis chapter 1. Thought number one is this: God is the original worker in all the universe. How many of you understand this? God modeled work for us. If you look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it tells us God was at work. In the beginning, God what? That was work. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That is work right there. Now, as we read on Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, what does it tell us? That God didn't work every other day. God didn't work every other week. God didn't work just on Mondays or just on Fridays. I heard someone say, yeah, I give 100% at the office. I give at least 20% every day, right? A lot of times we do that, right? We just kind of give what we can give. But what does it say about God? It says on the first day, God worked. Second day, God worked. Third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, he worked. Seventh day, he rested. What was he doing? He was giving us the ultimate model because he is the model creator. Man, again, you think about Jesus. Jesus had a career. He was a carpenter. But he also had a calling in his life. Notice what it says in Genesis chapter 2 when we think about God and God modeling work for us. Here's what it says, Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. Job well done. Here's what it says. By the seventh day, God had finished the, what's that word? Okay, three of y'all said it. What's that word? Work. By the seventh day, God had finished his work. God was the ultimate example of our occupation, our career, our worker. It says, by the seventh day, God had finished his work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. There it is again. He's our example. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So as you look at this, notice what it says. God worked on day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, but then he rested. He took a rest. You and I are supposed to work. God created us to work in some way, somehow, for 6 days, but on the seventh day we work. Now, 5 days a week, we could work at our career. Another day of the week, or journeying through there, we could fulfill our passion. But every day of the week, we fulfill our calling. But there needs to be a day in your life and my life that we remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. How many of you understand? Why? Because God, who created you and me, God who created the universe, modeled that idea that you and I are to work 6 days, but on the seventh day rest. If God modeled it, we need to ultimately live by it. We need to live through it. Man, God was, in fact, the first work. I love beyond that. Not only did God finish the task, but he had a post-creation quality inspection. What does it say? On day one, he created this, and he saw that it was... Don't you just love when the boss walks in and just kind of looks over your shoulder and says, how's it going? See, at church, those are called deacons, right? Your boss walks in, kind of says, hey, how are things going? And you're like, yeah, they're doing great. I love that God even gave us an example that not only is it important for us to work, but the quality of our work also matters. That whatever you and I do as a career, whether we love it or don't like it, you and I need to do the best we can at it. What does it say? At the end of day one, God created this and saw that it was good. At the end of day two, God created this and saw that it was good. At the end of day three, God created this, saw that it was good. What was he doing? Not only did he complete the task, he did a great job at it. Now, if you jump down to Psalm 19, pick it up as we continue to read. Look at it. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work, there's that word again, of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech, and night after night, they reveal knowledge. What an incredible thought that God was our ultimate example, the model of work. That you and I, we ought to work 6 days, but we don't separate ultimately our career from our calling, because whatever our career is, we can fulfill our calling there. Whatever you do in word or deed, we do it all in the for the glory of God. But I love this, that even today or tonight when you walk up and you look up at the skies, and the stars are shining, and tomorrow the sun comes up, and this evening the sun sets. Guess what? That is the creation of the God who spoke the world into existence, speaking to you and me all these years later. Child of God, it is an incredible thing to think about, the fact that the God who created us also created this world by the work of his hand. So thought number one, when we come to the idea, what does the Bible say about work? That God was our ultimate mentor. Here's the second thing, is work is part of God's image in you and me. That when God created us, how many of you know you were created in the image of God? If you look in God's Word, he says, you and I were created in the image of God. If you look in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says, so God created them, mankind, in his image, both male and female, he created him. What does that mean? Is that when God created us, he wove within our DNA a desire to work, a need to work. That God created in me and you, just like in him, a desire to work. How did God exemplify that? 6 days he worked and created. On the seventh day he rested. So what has been put in my DNA? The DNA to work, to follow my career, to follow my passion, to improve my skills, but also reserve a day that I would rest and ultimately worship. And focus my heart and my mind and my spirit on God. Now, here's the third thing that you and I need to understand. Work was a part of creation prior to the fall. Do you understand that? See, a lot of times we think that, well, Everything was going fine. Everybody say fine. We think everything was going fine, and then Adam and Eve sinned, and now we all have to work. How many of you kind of have that mindset? You see, a lot of times that's what we think, right? God, had they just not eaten of the fruit, we'd be hanging out in the garden, doing nothing. See, a lot of times we think that. I want you to know, you are sorely going to be disappointed when I tell you what I'm about to tell you. Is work was a part of creation prior to the fall. So if they hadn't sinned, and you and I were here today, but we were in the garden, guess what you and I would be doing tomorrow through Saturday? Exactly. Only one person said working. Yeah. A lot of times we think, well, had they not sinned, we'd be having fun. It's just hammocks in the garden and throwing fruit to each other and, man, just grilling steaks. And I don't know where they would come from, but, you know, hey, got to kill something, right? But here's the deal. Child of God, work was a part of creation before the fall. Notice what it says. You pick it up and notice here it is in Genesis chapter 2. Verse 15, this is prior to sin. Sin doesn't enter into the garden until Genesis chapter 3. It says, the Lord God made the man and put him in the garden to... Now, I'm getting more than one, but now I'm getting work. Yeah, there he goes. A little enthusiasm, right? Man, here's the deal. God created... That was work. God created you and me to work before the fall. So don't look at work as, man, this is a result of Adam and Eve screwing up. It's not. God created and put in our DNA, in our image, just like His. He created us to work. Now, He doesn't always tell us what our career should be, but we know what our calling is. And then sometimes our careers and our callings are separate even from our passions. But God says, I created you to work. Now, you say, then what happened to work after sin entered into the world? Well, here's the thought. And you need to know, work did get harder after the fall. So work wasn't created because of the fall, but work did get harder because of the fall. You say, Pastor, where do you see that? Pick it up in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. Here's what it says. This is after they've sinned. Now they've messed up. Work was already part of the garden. They were to work it. They were to cultivate it. But here's what they say. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you. And you will eat plants of the field. And by the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food. Now, if you look at this, God was the original example of work. God put in our DNA to the desire to work. Work was a part of who we were created to be prior to sin, but sin didn't create work or cause work, but it did cause it to get harder. And if you look right here, part of the curse was that God cursed the ground. God cursed everything. And so what does that mean? That you and I would toil. First time that word shows up, that Hebrew word means to perspire or to sweat or be exhausted. He says, also the ground, not only will you perspire or be exhausted from time to time, the ground will also produce not just good fruit, but also thorns and thistles. What does that mean? That no matter what we do, there's probably going to be some good come with some bad. How many of you have understood at your office and in your life, you have some things that are good and some things that are bad, right? That's part of the curse of sin. The job isn't the sin or the result of sin, but the idea that it comes with good and bad. Well, where's the good and bad? Sometimes I can work on a project, work on a project, work on a project. I've heard people have this done, and all of a sudden, those who are higher ups just shut down the project. Anybody ever had that happen? Man, yeah, you got hands being raised out there. You put your life and your energy, your effort, you pour your passions, your skills, your abilities, your talents in, and all of a sudden someone you probably don't even know says, we don't need that anymore. Man, that's thorns and thistles. There are other times that people, man, you have worked and you put in your hard-earned equity. And I've known some people just in the last couple of years that they have opened up some shops. They poured a lot of the retirement money into it. And the pandemic shut it down. How many of you know what I'm talking about? They lost thousands and thousands of dollars. Guess what that is? Those are thorns and thistles. Man, not everything you and I do, even as children of God, is always going to be successful. And so you and I, as we make our journey through life, we need to understand work is not a result of sin. But work was made harder because of sin. We say, Pastor, then what is the purpose of work? If God modeled work, if God put work in our DNA, if work was here before sin entered into the world, what is the point of work? Let me just tell you this. Here are the work benefits. Work ultimately benefits others and us. Can I just tell you, the work that you do is for the provision of your family. Do you understand that? To put food on the table, to have a house, to have cars, to have things that you need. That, listen, the more you work, the better you are at your work, the more you get paid at the office, it benefits you. Let's don't kid ourselves. If you gain a new skill, if you're good, if you work harder, man, if you are talented and creative and you can do all of those things, you will become rewarded. Work benefits us. But listen to this, it also benefits others. You know, we talk a lot today, and if you read the story, and I just shared with you some of the articles that are going on today, people quitting work, changing jobs, those who have jobs want to leave a job, that also right now for every one person that is looking for a job across the nation, there is more than one job opening. So if you want a job, you can get a job. That's kind of what they're saying right now. If you want a job, now it may not be the job that pays you what you need to make, but there is a job out there somewhere that you could go get a job. Now, I want you to know, so we're talking a lot about how my work benefits me and others. And I want to encourage you to follow me here closely. Because if you don't, somebody's going to walk out of here and say the pastor said something that the pastor didn't say. Did you know when we think about our welfare system here in our country that the Bible has mapped out a welfare system that is completely godly and completely biblical? If you look in Leviticus chapter 23, here is what the original welfare system was for the children of Israel when they moved into the promised land. Here was what it says. Okay, notice. Here's how it should happen. Remember, I said work benefits us and others. I work, I earn for the benefit of others. Here's what it says. Here's the biblical welfare system. When you reap a harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. What is he saying? God is talking to the children of Israel saying, listen, you have been slaves in Egypt. When you go into the promised land and all of a sudden you've left the infertile land for the fertile land and all of a sudden your crops are beginning to blossom and bloom and all of a sudden you're going to have more than you can consume. Here's what he's saying. Don't consume everything you produce. Leave some for somebody else. See, part of the biblical mandate on work is work benefits us as well as others. So notice he defines it. Listen to this. If you read on, he says, do not reap to the very edges of the field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Instead, he says, leave them for the poor and for the foreigner residing in your land. Why? Because I am the Lord your God. So if you look in God's Word, here's what we see. When I work, I need to make all I can. God didn't tell them, listen, when you go into the promised land, only grow half a crop. No. If you look in God's word, he says, man, produce and be fruitful, multiply, gain a large harvest, but don't consume everything that you make. Child of God, Americans need to hear that. How many of us understand that? That we have become such a consuming mentality that not only do we consume 100% of what we make, we have a tendency to consume more. You know what that's called? That's called debt. How many of you understand? The biblical model is that I want to do everything I can in my career to make as much as I can to hone my skill, fulfilling my calling, part of my calling as a child of God that wants to honor and glorify God in everything I do, says that, listen, according to God's word, I'm not going to consume everything I produce. I'm going to leave some for someone else. And who am I going to leave it for? The poor, the needy, the widows, those who are less fortunate, those who can't work. See, that's the point of work. If you jump to the New Testament, you say, well, Pastor, you know, here's what we know. The Old Testament can be pretty harsh. How many of you know the Old Testament can be pretty harsh? A lot of times people think, well, you know, kind of God in the Old Testament, he has a bunch of rules. You look in the New Testament, it's all grace. Can I take you to 1 Timothy chapter 5? You think only hard stuff is said in the Old Testament? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Here's what Paul is saying to the Ephesian believers. He says, anyone who does not provide for their own relatives, especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Uh-oh. How many of you would say that's pretty harsh? Some of you are not raising your hands. Are y'all still with me? I'll talk about sleep next week. Can y'all work a little? I'm working right here, and I need some attention. All right? Here's the deal. A lot of times we think, man, hard stuff, Old Testament, easy stuff in the New Testament. Man, that's pretty hard right there. That if you won't work, what was he saying? There were some people in the Ephesian church that were rolling into the church in Ephesus, understanding that these people were saved by grace. They understood the Acts 2 mentality. They gathered together. They worshiped together. They didn't spend or consume everything they made, but they gave a lot to the church. And what was happening, people were showing up and saying, feed me, take care of me, provide for me. And Paul says, listen, God has woven in every person's DNA the need to provide for their own household. And if you don't, you are worse than an unbeliever. That's pretty hard. You say, Pastor, so that means if someone has been laid off. No, that's not what I'm talking about. These people are making a conscious decision to expect others to provide for them and their house and not labor on their own. That's what's being talked about here. If you look at 2 Thessalonians, notice he says a clear message in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7. This is a pretty hard statement. He says, and now Paul was saying, listen, remember Paul's career was what? Y'all remember from the beginning of the service, his career was what? Tent maker. His calling? Preach the gospel to the Gentiles. So here he is in Thessalonica. Notice what it says. He says, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. Paul's saying, when I was with you, I left you an example. What was the example that Paul gave them? And here's the key. Paul didn't say, yeah, just kind of share the gospel a little bit. Notice his example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. What was he saying? I worked at my career. If you gave me food, I paid for it. Now read on. He says, we did this not because we do not have a right to expect such help. He says, listen, I could have just shared the gospel and taken an offering, but instead he says, I wanted to work. Now move on. He says, but in order to offer ourselves as a model, I love this, as a model for you to imitate. If you think that's pretty hard, look at verse 10. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. How many of you agree that that's those are pretty stern words. Notice the key word there. It's not those who need help. Those who are unwilling to work. See, as a church, we're incredibly generous. We've got a benevolence ministry. We've got missions ministry. You saw and you stepped up in every way, in every space through the pandemic, providing thousands of meals. Man, we delivered them to houses. We did everything, and we will continue to do so. But the challenge for us is always to raise the mindset and the idea that the biblical understanding of work is this, that God has challenged each and every one of us to be willing to work. Now, if you have been in a season where corporately you have been downsized, that's not what's being talked about here. Can I tell you that? That's not what's being talked. If you have been laid off, that is not what's being talked about here. What is being talked about is when someone says, I am just going to expect someone else to care for me. That's what's being talked about. You say, okay then, Pastor, just briefly. What are the biblical understandings of work? Let me just roll through them. Here they are. I've told you, God is the ultimate worker. He is our example. He put it in our DNA. Work was here before sin. Work did get harder after sin. You and I ought to live and work in such a way that we produce all we can, but I don't consume everything I have. I need to leave some for those who are hurting. So here are a couple of thoughts. Thought number one, when you look at the Bible, and these are all verses in here, man, hard work always pays off. Hard work always pays off. And I give you one verse after another verse after another verse that you can go look at. So I want to encourage you, when you roll into the office tomorrow, do everything you can. Even if you are not seeing the payoff now, if you will have your career slotted under your calling, that you go into the office and say, God, I am willing to work, I am willing to work, I am willing to work. Why? Because I'm doing it all for the glory of God, I will promise you. God will bless you, and your hard work will pay off. Here's the second thought as we look at God's Word. It's pretty this. Skilled work will always get noticed. I gave you some verses there. Skilled work will always get noticed. I love what Solomon says. He says, I've noticed over the years, those that are talented and skilled and gifted, they serve before kings, not people of low position. What was he saying? He says, I've noticed that those who get better and better at their skill set, they take those natural talents, natural abilities, and they hone them and make themselves better at it, and they apply themselves. They have a tendency to get promoted. And promoted. And that's exactly what God's Word says, that you and I, as we journey through life, that we need to do everything we can to improve our skill set. Here's what I've noticed over the years, is we live in this world of technology, that it seems like every 5 or used to be every 10 to 15 years that skill sets would change. Now it seems like every 12 months. How many of you know? Man, you need a new skill set. You better get a new skill set. I've seen as a pastor here after 26 and a half years, there have been times when all of a sudden someone, some man or some woman who had this amazing skill set in a certain technology, all of a sudden the script was flipped. And the skill set they used to have is no longer applicable to today. How many of us understand that? And there might be someone here today. Can I tell you what God's Word says? Man, just take those natural talents and abilities and always hone your skills. Because a skilled person, God's Word says, if you and I will understand that whatever I do, my career should fit under my calling to honor and glorify God, that God will see that you are blessed for all you do. Here's the final thought. Committed work will always be blessed by God. Hard work pays off. Skilled work gets noticed. And committed work will ultimately be blessed by God. What an incredible thought. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all for the glory of God. And then here's a beautiful thought. Is I'll submit to you that when you hit the office door tomorrow, you can be a greater Christian witness tomorrow at your office than I can at mine. Do you understand? I love what Jesus said. He said, when you leave and you head into the office tomorrow, be salt and be light, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. When I wake up tomorrow, I'm going to walk right over in that office. I'm going to be surrounded by your staff, and at least half of your staff are already Christians. See, you need to catch on to that a little bit. You might be walking into an office complex where you might be the only Christian on your team. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So if you walk in there with the understanding, this is my career, but there's a calling that whatever I do, whatever happens today, in word or deed, I'm doing what I do today for the glory of God. So everybody in this office will see my good works and ultimately glorify the Father who is in heaven. That's how the believer understands vocation. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this day. God, thank you for a little reset in the craziness of culture. God, a culture that we have just experienced, the great American resignation. We are unhappy at the office. We are unhappy in so many things. As children of God, let us leave here today saying our careers do matter. What we work at does matter. But it only matters when we have a clear sense of your calling in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.